Reading Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, verses 5 to 15. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, 5 to 13. Sorry, 5 to 15. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins.
Thank you very much, Chris. Thank you. Well, this evening I'm going to be speaking about what we would call the Lord's Prayer. And it's the prayer that, of course, Jesus taught his disciples. And we know he taught it to them on more than one occasion at least. In Luke's Gospel, it was in response to their request, Lord, teach us to pray. The record in Matthew's Gospel that Christine has read to us was part of the Sermon on the Mount. And on the Sermon on the Mount, we read that when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them. So the teaching in Matthew's Gospel comes in the context of that occasion when Jesus is bringing that amazing sermon on the Mount. And we, as disciples, need to learn to pray. It's something that we can never get to the bottom of. It's so deep. And it's all about our relationship with God. And so Jesus says, he taught his disciples, this then is how you should pray. This is how you should pray. Can anyone tell me what that might be? Crane. There's a crane. Very good. Very well done. Yes, it's a crane. It's a particular building. Does anyone recognise? It's not complete, but it's a particular building. Does anyone know what building it is?
Is that the one in Dubai?
No, it's actually in London.
Oh, right.
It's called a shard. And that's during its construction. It's complete now. It's interesting, when I was in Rwanda, one of the other athletes there, he said he was involved in its construction, which was very interesting. And how precisely it was built. You know, it was, they had to be so accurate in the way they built it. You know, if a building that tall, if it leans over the slightest bit, you're in big trouble. So that's another story. But you can see that is, as with many buildings, they have a kind of framework on which the structure is built. And you can also find things like that in Rwanda, slightly different kind of framework, but nonetheless, that's a building, being a building going up, and it's essentially, it has a framework. Many blocks of flats and office blocks, they have a framework that goes up first, doesn't it? On which hung the cladding and everything else that goes with them. So, and really, the Lord's Prayer is like a pattern, a framework of prayer, which gives us we can build our prayer life on this framework that the Lord gives us in this prayer. Of course, we can say it. We can say the Lord's Prayer, can't we? But there's a lot. There's a lot to learn within the prayer. And the first point. Well, perhaps we should just read it again. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And of course we can pray that. It's a great prayer to pray. But let's think more in more detail about what it's telling us. First of all, it's so important when we pray that we know who we're speaking to. And of course, it's a bit difficult because we can't see God. If I go up to you and we have a conversation, I could see the reaction on your face. You might reply with a few words, and either I know I'm getting through or not. Sometimes I'm talking to people and I see them sort of going off into a sleep. And I know I'm not getting through. But it's a lot easier when you can see someone. But one of the problems with prayer, we can't see visibly God. But nonetheless, we can know him. The Lord Jesus describes him as our Father in heaven. And we learn something from the preceding verses to this prayer. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. And of course, there were many people in those days, religious people, who just wanted people to notice them and respect them and think how wonderful they were and holy they were. And Jesus said, well, they got the praise of men, but that was all. Because our Father sees into our lives. He sees our hearts. He sees our motives. And that's what matters. The attitude of our hearts is very, very important. And James tells us that if you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. If our motives are not right, we're not going to receive what we want. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. God is unseen, but he sees you. He sees what's going on in your mind and your hearts, even as we sit here tonight. He knows all about this meeting. He knows what's going on in every one of us, doesn't he? Which is wonderful, but also a bit scary. So when you sit down to pray in your own prayer time or devotion time, you might think, what am I doing here? But if you're coming with the right heart, God is there. God is there. You may not feel you're getting through, but that doesn't change the reality of the fact God sees. And God will reward you if you're praying with the right motive, if you're praying in accordance with his will. Hebrews 11:6 says, "And without faith it is impossible to please God, because whoever comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." I read that Spurgeon asked a young preacher, "You don't always expect to see conversions when you preach, do you?" And the young man said, "Well, of course not." And then Spurgeon said, "Well, that's the problem. You're not expectant. You don't expect God to respond to your prayer and use your message." So we come and we need to believe and trust that God is responding to our cry. And as we were crying out for our cat on Friday, God responded. Even to my little cat. Well, he's not so little, but isn't that amazing? He responded. I said to Christine, "God has never failed us." And he didn't. And when you pray, "Do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." God's not impressed by our many words, but our heart attitude. And he knows what we need. So when you're in trouble and struggling, he knows. He knows what you need. And he just wants you to say, "I trust you, God. I don't understand what I'm going through, but I trust you that you've got the answer to this struggle." But is he your Father in heaven? That's an important question, isn't it? Is he your Father in heaven? Paul writes to the Colossians, and in his letter he says, "We're giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." When we put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, when we are born again from heaven, something amazing happens. We are rescued from the dominion of darkness that dominates this world system, that dominates the way people think. We're brought into a new way of thinking. We're brought into the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are forgiven. We have peace with God. We have a connection through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. in Jane's home. I had my laptop open. But because I haven't asked for the internet code, there's no internet connection. I'm not connected. Oh, don't worry about the internet code. But there's no connection. The computer is there. The potential is to be connected. But because I didn't ask, I didn't receive. There was no connection. If we don't ask for God's mercy, if we don't receive him into our lives as our Lord and Saviour, if we're not willing to let him take control of our lives, there's no connection. And God yet is not yet our Father in heaven. And that's what he longs to do. I don't know if any of you know who this person is. I don't expect you to know, but you might. This man, his name is Ian McCormick, I believe his name is. We met him a few years ago. He has an astonishing story. He was bitten by a box jellyfish, by five in fact, when he was diving in Mauritius. He was what you call a hedonist. He had no belief in God. He lived for the moment. But his mother was a Christian, praying for him. He was taken to land by, when he came, he was taken out of the water by his friends. And then they dumped him on the beach. And he was dying. He managed to crawl to the roadside. He cried out for a taxi driver who stopped, took him on board and then threw him out of the taxi because he didn't have any money, thought he was drunk. It was a bit of a miracle that he got an ambulance in the end through a friend. And in the ambulance he was dying. He remembered the words of his mother. He had a vision of her. He remembered she told him to pray. What do I pray? All he could remember was the Lord's Prayer. First thing that came into his mind, forgive us our sins. He said, well, I've never done anything wrong much. I'm all right. As we forgive those who've sinned against us. Then he remembered the taxi driver. Oh, I can't forgive him. He didn't do anything for me. And then he remembered, your will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. This life has never been about God's will. It's always been about me. And as this prayer was coming into his mind, he came under great conviction, and he knew he was dying. He cried out to God. Well, he had a very amazing after-death experience. He was in the morgue. His heart stopped for 15 minutes. He had an experience of hell and heaven. His whole life was changed. He came back to life. He walked out of the hospital. It's too amazing to believe. But such a humble man. Passionate about the Lord Jesus. God did amazing work for him. And he's still preaching the gospel fervently. What a story. The Lord's Prayer was very significant in his life. God's praise. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. God's name stands for all that he is. We have a chorus, don't we? Father, we love you, we worship and adore you. Glorify your name in all the air. In all the earth. When we pray, hallowed be your name, we are asking that all our attitudes, words and actions will cause others to praise God. Peter writes in his first letter, live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. People are watching our lives if we are Christians. If we profess to be Christians, they are watching our lives. Does anyone know who that person is?
Eric Liddell.
Eric Liddell, that's right. I don't know, probably many of you have seen Chariots of Fire, that very moving story, how Eric Liddell firmly believed that it was not right for him to run on a Sunday. He was at the 1936 Olympics and he wouldn't take part in the 100 metres heats in spite of everything they did to try and persuade him. Amazingly, another athlete who did well in his event gave Eric the opportunity to run the 400 metres instead later on in the week. One of the English athletes did actually win the 100 metres. Harold Abrahams, his name was. He was a Jewish man. And Eric Liddell won the 400 metres gold medal. So instead of one gold medal, we got two. And before the race, one of the other athletes gave him a scripture. Those who honour me, I will honour. Eric Liddell honoured Lord, and God honoured him. It's a wonderful story, isn't it? But that's all about hallowing God's name, isn't it? So hallowing God's name is to live a life of praise. Not just with our lips, but our whole lives should be giving glory to God so that people know what a wonderful God he is. God's purposes. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The kingdom of God has already come in Jesus, but has not yet fully come until he returns in glory. When we are born again, when we receive the Lord Jesus as our Saviour, the kingdom of God invades our lives. He becomes our King. And we have that desire that his will should be accomplished in our lives. That's me. Standing on a bridge that I designed years ago. There's a long story behind that, and I won't go into all the details. But once I was a civil engineer, although I didn't remain one. But I remember once I was working in London in this design office, in Mitcham in Surrey it was, and everyone else was leaving on to get a better job. And I thought, I shouldn't be stuck around in this office. Perhaps I should get a better job. I was a new Christian. I looked out some jobs and I thought, that looks good. I got an interview. Thankfully, I had a Christian friend at work called Mike. And I said to him one day, Mike, I want you to know I'm going for an interview tomorrow for a job, another job, with another company. He said, is it God's will? Have you prayed about it? God's will? Prayed about it? I'd never even thought of asking God about it. I was a fairly new Christian, but I didn't realise that I must have been very new, but I didn't realise that such important decisions, you have to pray about them. And in a wonderful way, the Lord took all the wind out of my sails. And though I went to the interview, I was very unconvincing. I didn't get the job. praise God. Later on, well, the Lord called me into the London City Mission, but that's another story. But I hadn't realized at that stage that when we follow Jesus, it's all about him. It's all about his will. It's not about what we want, but what does he want? And that's something we should always pray, shouldn't we? We should be praying for God's will to be done in our nation. God's will to be done in our church. God's will to be done in this district, this area, and in our own personal lives. To pray in the will of God is important, and the scriptures are full of prayers. This is one in 2 Thessalonians 3. Finally, brothers, pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honoured, just as it was with you. That's a lovely prayer, isn't it? Do you pray and do you long that people will hear and accept the gospel and God will be glorified? I hope that's a top priority in your prayer life. May God have his way among us. And we must pray for the return of the Lord. And Paul reminds us that as we serve the Lord faithfully, in an amazing way, we speed his coming. God's purposes, God's provision. Give us this day our daily bread. This request covers all our needs, recognizing our complete dependence on God as our sustainer and provider. Every day is a gift from God. We are here at God's permission. He's given us Sunday, December the 1st, as a gift. Will we still be alive tomorrow? We don't know. We are here on his planet, in his world, at his permission. So we should be grateful for all that he provides for us. Take nothing for granted. Be thankful for God's provision. For work, for money, when you go shopping, recognize that everything comes from him. When you meet people like this, you realize that give us this day our daily bread is a very important prayer. Because things can be very scarce. When you're wrestling with poverty, it becomes very, very important to you. But it's also important that we should feed on the word of God. Jesus said, it is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And that's what we need so much, don't we? The spiritual food of the word of God. To strengthen us, to guide us, to comfort us, to challenge us. Ask God to speak to you personally. God's pardon. How much we need this one. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. How much we need the mercy of God. Yes, when we come to the Lord for the first time, he makes us clean, cleanses us from all our sins. But how much do we need that daily, that moment by moment cleansing from him? Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. That's a solemn statement, isn't it? couple of friends of ours. One of them has passed on, the other's still alive. The lady on the right is Maggie, someone we know in London. She's actually very seriously ill at the moment. The lady on the left is called Gillian. They used to be worst enemies. Maggie was a very bad alcoholic, and Gillian was also a bad alcoholic. They probably used to fight like cats and dogs on the Stonebridge estate. Maggie was wonderfully saved and has an amazing testimony today. She'd had a very sad upbringing. Abuse, all sorts of things she went through. And her pastor told us, Maggie, you have to forgive. How can I forgive those people? She said. But she made a choice. She said, I forgive them. I forgive them. She still felt the anger and the pain. But a few months down the line, she suddenly discovered that that had gone. She had a new outlook. She'd found peace. She said to me once, there's only one person on this estate I never want to meet, and that's Gillian. She gave me a real beating last time. One day Gillian came into our centre where Maggie was the cook. Gillian came for lunch. Maggie embraced her. Maggie became one of Gillian's very best friends and was right with her up to her death. It's wonderful what God can do. How he answered that prayer for Maggie. God's protection. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. We read in Colossians about what happens when we come to know the Lord Jesus. We're brought out of the kingdom of darkness and brought into the kingdom of the Son he loves. And we suddenly discover that we're in a huge spiritual battle. That the devil is real. That he hates us. He wants to bring us down one way or another. We are still struggling with our flesh, as it were. We face temptations. Satan is actively seeking to bring us down. How much we need protection. But the wonderful truth is, the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. And it's amazing, when we resist the devil, he will flee from us. If we draw near to God, if we humble ourselves under God's mighty hand, and we draw near to God, then we can tell the enemy to leave in Jesus' name. I expect you've found that many times. I remember Christine and I were really struggling over some issue, and we knew that we were getting into a bit of a fight over something. And I recognised that this was the enemy. And I said, "Get out of this place, Satan! You have no part here." And the whole thing just was over. It was a deliberate, it was an attack. And the Lord brought us together. The situation was dealt with. I was absolutely amazed. We have to recognize our great need of God's protection. But remember, the one who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. We have such a great God. So much there in the Lord's Prayer, isn't it? So much to think about, to meditate on. So that our relationship with him will grow stronger, more full of faith and confidence in his great love, his protection. We'll long to see his name glorified, his kingdom coming. We'll be those who find the strength to forgive and love our enemies and find his protection in every circumstance. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you that we have all that we need to live a life pleasing to you. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for this wonderful framework to help us to pray. And we pray that you will deepen the prayer life of us all and of our fellowships as our churches. Lord, that we will truly, you will have a great impact on those around us because we are all walking closely with you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.